This second session is titled Ruffled Feather. Refers to the emotion of anger. If someone would have approached me maybe 6 weeks ago regarding this subject, I probably would have referred him to Charles Engel. Instead, I think somebody approached him and he referred it to this lesson. Perhaps that's what the scriptures mean when it tells us to be like-minded. The idea of ruffled feather is one of the many idioms in the English language that's used to describe anger. There's multiple ones. We blew a gasket. We blew our top. We blew our stack. We blew a fuse. We lost it. We went postal. We went ballistic. We became unglued. We hit the ceiling. We had a conniption fit. We just flipped out. All euphemisms for the term or for the idea of losing our temper, but we never lose our temper. We may lose control of it, but we never lose our temper. And on this subject, I would guess in this audience and in perhaps any audience, but more so in this audience, there would be two camps of thought. The first camp would be, is this really a Bible topic? Why are we talking about that at a church meeting? And if you're in that camp, it's probably because you've never had an issue with anger. And you're very fortunate if you fall in that category. But most of us may have been in the other camp. We struggled with the issue. Perhaps you grew up in a home that had the issue, or you live in a home that has that issue. And your thought is, how come it took so long for somebody to talk about this subject? It is an issue that is Bible-based. So if you're in the first group, it is a Bible-based subject. The Bible has examples of anger, both in the positive and in the negative. I know that when you think of anger, I would judge that you normally think of anger as a bad thing. But we'll look at some examples in the Bible where anger wasn't necessarily a bad thing. There's tons of secular information and books that you could read on the subject. I have no advice from those books today. I'm not discounting their value, but you can Google it as easy as I could, or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to the bookstore and check out those books. But today's message is strictly from a scriptural standpoint, as far as the idea of solutions, which will be the final part of the talk. Anger is not a gender-specific problem. It affects males. It affects females. It's not an age-specific problem, although there are some studies that say that after the age of 50, it seems to dissipate some. And that's, if you're 49 getting ready to turn, it's not going to happen overnight. But there is some thinking that we mellow out with age, and you've probably seen some examples of that. You've seen young children throw a temper tantrum, and they do not have to be very old to throw a temper tantrum. You can see it at a very early age. The overwhelming majority of surveys and studies that have been conducted determine that men and women both get angry at about the same level. And those people that go to counseling, as far as males and females, it's equal numbers. So while often, again, we think of it as a male thing, it's a male and female problem. What is different between the genders is what triggers anger. If you're a female, what would probably trigger your anger is more relationship-based. You feel like someone's taking advantage of you. You feel like you're doing more than your share. You feel like what you're doing is not being appreciated. That's kind of how the women think. It's more, their anger is more emotionally driven off of relationships. The triggers for men are not the same. The triggers for us men are often complete strangers. The guy that cuts us off on the freeway, the guy that doesn't use his turn signal, the appliance you have, a weed eater, lawnmower that you just keep pulling and getting the same results, you just get absolutely furious with that. And we keep pulling it thinking the results are going to change until we just have to rest. Probably wouldn't bother a lady, but it bothers us men. had two uncles down in southern Missouri. They were out cutting their winter wood, and both of them were a little bit on the side of having tempers that were pretty close. And one of them had a new chainsaw, and the other one had an old one. The guy had the old chainsaw. He was just cutting away. And the guy that the new one couldn't get it started, and he just kept pulling and pulling. You know, he keeps looking over, and actually they were brother-in-laws, and he's just piling the wood up, and he can't get it started. And he finally just took his chainsaw, and he just threw it down the hill. Just out of pure anger, threw that new chainsaw down the hill. And the other one turned to him and said, "I don't know why you did that. You know you're going to have to walk down there and get it." And he did. He had to walk down. He just made more work for himself. And that is often what happens in issues of anger, is that we think we're solving a problem and we're just creating more work for ourselves. Everyone has the emotion of anger. Everyone. It's one of the six basic emotions that we all have. Now, while we all have anger, we don't all show it in the same way. We don't all control it. And some of us seems like it's right below the surface. And some of us, it takes a lot to get us riled up. It takes us a lot more to get ruffled. I don't know if we can explain that, but you need to understand it. If you're the person that gets riled easily, it's more of a concern for you. J.K. Rowling, in one of the Harry Potter books, says this, two characters talking, "Just because you have the emotional range of a teaspoon doesn't mean we all have." So point number one, everyone has anger. Whether you have to deal with it and give it as much attention as someone else may not be the case. Point number two is that being angry, even displaying your anger, is not necessarily sin. And I'll have a caveat for that later, but that's the point. Just because you're anger or show your anger doesn't mean it's sin. It may be sin, but it's not necessarily. I'm going to read Ephesians 4 and 26 out of three different translations, and they're all similar, but it's probably get one of yours. It's Ephesians 4 and 26. "Be angry and do not sin." I'm going to skip down to verse 27. "Nor give place to the devil." That is the New King James. The NIV is, "In your anger, do not sin." In verse 27, "And do not give the devil a foothold." And number three is the New American Standard Version, "Be angry and yet do not sin. And do not give the devil an opportunity." So just the very wording of those shows you that you could be angry and not follow that up with sin. There are examples in the Bible of people being angry and not sinning. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus overthrows the money changers. The text does not use the word anger there, but I think it's implied that Jesus was upset with what was taking place in the temple. And he reacted to that. But no one, I don't think anyone, suggests that there was any sin in that. Jesus was without sin. So even though he was angry, he did not sin. Mark chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses here, starting in verse 1 of Mark 3, talking about Jesus. It says, "He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, and they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace." And here's the verse where it tells Jesus' thoughts on the matter. "And when he looked round about on them with anger," why was he angry? "Because he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts." Jesus, while he was the Son of God, was also the Son of Man. He was created with emotions. He was created with anger. And in this particular case, he had anger, but he didn't sin with that anger. We have another even more graphic example in the book of Exodus chapter 32 in the story of Moses. And maybe I can tell it is better than I could read it. Moses is coming down from the mountain. He's received the commandments from God. Moses, previous to the coming down the mountain, has actually intervened for the people. God is of a mind to destroy them. Moses intervenes with them and God relents. Moses comes down, and as he approaches, he sees they have this golden calf, and they're dancing. And it's, the scripture says, uses these words, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. We were studying this not too long ago at Prince Road, and somebody brought up the fact that was Moses ever reprimanded for breaking those? Well, not that we have record of. Did Moses do something wrong there? Was his anger getting him in trouble? Best I can tell, it didn't. It seemed like what he did there, based on the situation and what happened and what he did with the tablets after that, put upon the water, made the children drink of that. We don't see Moses reprimanded for that or corrected for that. And even going a step higher, in Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11, we have this word regarding God's anger. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. But God never sins on any day. So, having said that and led you down that path, if we can be angry, and we can, and not sin, what is the harm in being angry? Why are we even talking about it if we can be angry and not sin? That seems simple enough. Couldn't we do that? Well, number one, there's a fine line between controlled anger and uncontrolled anger. And then point number two on that is most of us are not very good judges of determining that our anger is righteous or unrighteous. We're all kind of self-righteous when we do that, and we think, wow, that anger was justified. I'm just like God throwing out the, or just like Jesus throwing out the money changers out of the temple. I had a right to be angry at that. And I just don't know that we're all good judges of that, because we usually make those decisions when we are angry, and we just don't make good decisions. So here's the danger of not controlling your anger. And the danger is in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. I'll go ahead and read that. It's something you're familiar with, I'm sure. So we start in verse 4. It says, Abel, he brought his firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect to Abel unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, he was very angry, and his countenance fell. The anger showed in his face. And the Lord spoke to Cain, and he says, why are you wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not do well, sin lieth at the door. Cain was angry because his sacrifice had not been accepted. But God tells him, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. If you don't do what's right, sin is at your doorstep. One of the different translations said, sin is crouching at your doorstep. So what did Cain do? Verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass, and they were in the field. Cain rose up against his Abel and his brother and slew him. If you were to be the prosecuting attorney here, I think you would have to conclude there's evidence that this was premeditated murder. It doesn't sound like Cain wanted to go out and have a brother-to-brother talk. It sounds like his plan was to go out. Sin crouched at his door, and God had told him, you must rule over it. If you have an anger issue, you must rule over it. You cannot let it rule you. Another reason why we should just stay away from sin or stay away from anger is that anger is a work of unrighteousness. Most of us would agree when you're angry, you are apt to say something that you would not normally say. You may use even language that you're not customarily used to doing. How many times have you had to apologize for something, or how many times should you have apologized for something that you said out of anger? It's because when anger takes control, we lose that ability to reason in the We just speak out in many cases. James 1 and 19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath a man worketh not the righteousness of God. If you get angry often enough, you're going to be working works of unrighteousness. Anger is a work of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, we have the fruits of the Spirit. We have the works of the flesh. Anger would, often it provokes others. So you're making a violation there. When you're angry, you're typically not gentle. You're not being kind. You're not being peaceful. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, it gives a whole list of things that are inappropriate or works of the flesh. It includes anger, if you have a version that says fits of rage. But in that list are things that you think are absolutely terrible. Sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, jealousy. But the Scriptures make no distinction between which of those is at the top of the list and which one is at the bottom of the list. It's just a list. They're all wrong. So fits of rage fits right in there with sexual immorality. When we lose our anger, we lose control of the emotions that God has given us. God wants us to be in control of the things that He's given us. We often teach very strongly on the problems with alcohol, the problems with tobacco, and it makes you do things, particularly alcohol and drugs, that you normally wouldn't do. You lose your inhibitions. You say things, you do things. Well, that's exactly what happens when you're anger. When it gets uncontrolled, you're just out of touch. And anger causes harm to both your mental state and it can cause harm to your physical state. Chronic and intense anger is linked to high blood pressure, stress, and coronary issues. In one study of 13,000 people, the individuals with the highest levels of anger had twice the risk of coronary artery disease and three times the risk of heart attack. As compared to the other ones that were at the low levels. Some people, some doctors, some scientists even think that chronic anger, the person that just can't get it under control over and over, may be as dangerous to their health as smoking and obesity. So if I could just paraphrase that point. If you have an anger problem and you start with Charles, you may end up at the same clinic with Greg. It's going to affect you mentally, and it's going to affect you physically. That's why God wants us to stay away from it. He wants us to be in good health. He wants us to be in a good state of mind. And just to kind of repeat, we cannot justify our anger by saying, that's just the way I am. My father was angry, and I'm angry too. I inherited his temper. And we can't get by just saying that every time we get angry, it's on a worthy cause. You're just kind of fooling ourselves. So, solutions. What do we do about it? Well, number one, if you can recognize the situations that seem to rile you up, you need to avoid those situations as much as possible. If it's a particular person, if it's a particular road that you drive to work, find an alternate. If the evening news riles you up on political issues, don't watch the news. Just stay away from those things. Our politicians give us ample ammunition to get angry at them. Well, don't let them load your gun. Just don't watch. Don't listen if that is a problem to you. We all have an anger thermostat. It's a thermostat that's inside of us, and it starts off with being impatient. It goes to being irked. It goes to being irritated. And then maybe the last step, we're just incensed. So you need to recognize what your thermostat is, because the sooner you can get cooled down, the better you are. And the converse is also true. The more riled you get, the longer it's going to take you to cool down. You've got something building up, building up, building up. And over time, if you don't take care of it, you're literally going to do what we said earlier. You're going to blow your stack. So avoid situations, if you can, that you know that rile you up. Number two is, and this is a biblical principle, not only applied to anger, but it applies to lots of sins. There are lots of things that would harm us. Try to see a particular situation from the other person's point of view. And I know that's difficult, but that's a biblical principle, to put others before us. Is anybody here annoyed by telemarketers? I am. I used to really be. That used to bug me. Caller ID helps a lot, but until my oldest son graduated from high school and got a part-time job as a telemarketer. How could I be mad at him? This guy's, he's getting money. He's saving me money by having a job. So when I get telemarketing calls now, I think, well, maybe that's some young guy that's just making a little money on the side and just endure it. If you take the call, just endure it. Try to see it. If the guy that cuts you off in traffic, if that really bugs you, would it change your opinion if he knew he was trying to get his wife to the hospital to deliver a baby, for her to deliver the baby? Well, sure, that would change your attitude. So don't assume that everything happens to you is something personal. The telemarketer doesn't even know you. You'll never meet him or her. The guy that cuts you off, maybe he did it intentionally, but cut him a little slack. Maybe he didn't do it intentionally. All of our kids played sports, and referees used to make me so angry. Really angry. What I noticed was that after my kids graduated, those same referees in the same gym refereeing the same sport were amazingly better after my kids got out. So don't take it personal. I knew those referees by name, and I actually told one of them one time, I said, "You're so much better now that my kids have graduated." He kind of got a kick out of that. We need to be more, and again, this is a solution that is, it's universal. It's not just on this subject. And this is the battle we fight every day. We need to be more spiritual and less temporal. The things that make you mad, are they temporal stuff? Or are they spiritual stuff? If it's spiritual things, perhaps maybe that's a righteous part of anger. But we need to try to be more spiritual. We need to be able to step back and look at the whole picture. What does this amount to in the big picture? So what if this guy is in the express lane and the sign says 12 items or less and he has 15? I've counted them before, I know. That just used to irk me. What difference does it make? It won't make any difference 24 hours from that time. And a lot of the things that tick us off are just temporary. Think about the big picture. Think about being a more spiritual person than thinking about this very moment of time, this very moment of time where you got to get out the door and do something else. A good biblical example of anger and how to deal with it is in Nehemiah, the 5th chapter. You're familiar with Nehemiah. Nehemiah has came back from captivity, and he is the guy in charge to getting the walls rebuilt. He meets all types of opposition from the non-Jews. And then we get to the 5th chapter, he's getting opposition from his Jewish brethren. And the specific opposition is that some of the Jewish brethren were charging these poor people interest. I'm going to read to you just two verses in Nehemiah chapter 5. And again, this is maybe an oversimplification, but I think it's something we could all do. It says in verse 6, Nehemiah is talking about himself, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words," the people bringing the problem to him. And verse 6 is a solution. "Then I consulted with myself." Well, that sounds simple. We say, count to 10. There's some value in that. Step back from the situation. He could have blew up here. He could have did a number of things. But the scripture says he consulted with himself. You're all smart people. You know what is right and wrong. But you cannot distinguish between the two when you're boiling so hot. You just want to get back at someone. You just want to say something to them. But Nehemiah didn't do that. He held his tongue for a while until it was appropriate, and the scripture says he consulted with himself. Being a Christian doesn't make problems go away. If you're struggling with the issue and you're not a Christian, you're baptized today, you'll still have an anger issue. Doesn't make that problem go away, but being a Christian makes it easier to deal with. And again, that's kind of universal for our problems. Let me close with a quote a non-inspirational quote. It is inspirational, but it wasn't inspired by the Bible. By Mark Twain, who said some funny things, but this is probably more on the serious side, talking about anger. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured.